Welcome to the Life in 20 podcast, where you will learn something from everyone you meet in 20 action-packed minutes. Now, let's get lit with your hosts, Paul, Carson, and McCoy LeBlanc.
All right. Well, this is our first official podcast, and we have the honor of speaking with the man, the myth, the legend, my father, and the kid's grandfather, also known as Papa. So we're going to get right in. Dad, thanks for joining us, by the way.
You're welcome.
All right. Perfect. So I'll kick it off. You know, we like to start off every podcast, just a little history about where you come from. Why are you here? You know, like how did we get to this point? What do you do? Maybe tell us a little bit about yourself in that way.
Okay. I was born in Seattle, raised mostly in Rainier Valley. My parents had split up when I was two and both remarried, and I was one of the lucky ones. I got good step-parents. Mom's side, she was German-Russian, and my dad's side was French-Canadian. And the Rainier Valley house was Italian and German then, and my dad's side was the French-Canadian, and my stepmom was Irish. So coming from a split home like that, you have an opportunity to learn how different people parent and how much different there is in their lifestyles. And you learn real quick how to enjoy both sides of the family. So,
and your grandparents, is it your grandparents built that house, right?
My step-grandparents built the house, yes. That was Papa Tony's house. And they lived there all their life. So.
I seen the bedroom you grew up in. It's a little different than the bedrooms these kids are used to today, right?
Well, actually, most of the time I lived there, my bedroom was the living room because the downstairs wasn't finished then. That wasn't finished until Linda got old enough to move down there. But before that, my bedroom was the living room. So I slept on the couch. People had stayed up later. I just learned to sleep around them.
That's not much privacy, Papa. You're just chilling out there.
What was that?
That's not much privacy if you're just in the living room the whole time.
Didn't have no privacy. Nothing. It was, you know, it's strange because we had grandparents living there. And Linda, Carmen, Adeline, me, and my mom and Papa Tony, all living in the upstairs of that house.
One bathroom, by the way.
Well, we have one bathroom that was very tiny. I mean, the sink was just very little. And the bathtub was an old crawfoot bathtub. The bathroom was added on because when they built that house, there was no indoor plumbing. You know, it was an outhouse out in the back you had to go to. So.
Wow.
A little different than their conditions today.
Yeah, they're a whole lot different. And you know, it's everything's different. Back then, you had one car for every three families in the area. You know, nowadays you got five cars for every family. You had one bedroom for three kids. And now, if you don't have an extra bedroom, one more than you got kids, then your house is too small.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
All right. So you grew up in the Valley. And then how'd you get into the career that you ended up in?
I started out as a bookkeeper for ABC Records. And from that, if you know me, you know I don't like to wear the tie and the suit. I had to wear every single day, and nobody saw us but the people that worked there, you know. It was really dumb. So I got tired of that, and I went looking for another job. And I couldn't find anything, hardly. I mean, there was people hiring, but everybody required a driver's license, unless you want another desk job or something. And Homer Britton, which is Carol's dad, said he could get me on for the summer as a gardener for the Seattle School District. And so I worked the whole summer as a gardener, and then I was supposed to get laid off and go find another job. But the boss there liked me, and so he kept hiding me from the upper management that said all the summer work was done. But during that time, I looked over the custodian work thing, because I was looking for pretty much anything that, you know, I'm about to get married in a few months, and looking for just about anything that I could, you know, support a family. You know, now Carol always made decent money. She worked at Sears then and then went to Boeing's afterwards. But what I liked about the school district was there was fast movement. You weren't stagnant. And then you start off as a janitor for $2 an hour. Lots of money back then. Anyway, I hired on as a janitor and got to thinking that, well, I wasn't planning on staying there. I was planning on going back to school. And I said, well, as long as I'm here, I might as well get the most of it. So I went and I studied for the boiler's license so I could become an engineer and move up the ladder. You couldn't do anything. You know, if you didn't get your license, you were stuck as a janitor the whole time. So I moved my way up into the ranks by getting my license, going to their classes, learning a lot of plumbing stuff and electrical stuff that I use to this day, and was able to move into the head guy at a high school, the head custodian of a high school, was my final position with the Seattle School District, and retired from that. But the reason I went to the district, time goes by fast, but I went there because they had movement. You weren't never stagnant. You know, I was never in a position longer. They were real flexible on, you know, they bent over backwards to trying to help me to get closer to home. When I'd get an assignment, I'd be there for a while, and then they'd come back and say, hey, we found something closer to your house. They'd come out. So that's where I would move. One of the best schools I worked at was Northgate Elementary. There, the principal gave me a lot of slack. I was teaching computer classes after school and some during the day. I had found two old computers in the closet that were there for about a year. I took them out and put them together, and that's what we started with. And then I conned other custodians at other schools to send me their computers. They didn't know what they were for. And so we ended up with a classroom full of computers, and we were able to. But it was,
So ahead of the time. I mean, we're talking like early 80s, right?
Yeah. No, yeah, it was an Apple IIe. And
wow.
I probably don't even know what that was. But I ended up having to go out and buy one so I'd have one at home so I could learn along ahead of the kids and be able to teach them. And they were real good at it. A few of them got really good. And that was actually programming, where you told the computer what to do. So not just, you know, playing a game or something. We made games and played them. But
so I'm showing from Zoom here. We got about 10 minutes left on this call. Kids, what questions do you have for Papa?
Okay.
I think my main question, when you were talking about how someone at the school decided that they didn't want to lay you off and instead kind of let you stay after the summer, do you feel lucky that that happened to you?
Yeah. I mean, it's a way to show that, you know, I worked hard as a gardener and yeah. I liked it. That's why, you know, you tend to do better at jobs you like.
Well, we've seen the backyard at your house.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we know you got that green thumb.
Yeah.
McCoy, how about you? What do you got for him?
So when you were like younger in high school, like 17, like if you go back in time and like what would you say to your 17-year-old self?
That's tough because at 17, I already made most of my mistakes. So if I had to go back to somebody in, you know, younger, say 14, 15, myself, I probably would try to get myself to understand that classes that I didn't care for much are as important as the math classes that I loved. I was never good at history or language arts or those kind of things. The history, I'm so lost doing with genealogy that I, you know, somebody will be from some weird country and I got to look it up and, you know, where I didn't pay attention to that. The teachers in our day didn't teach relativity. You know, they didn't teach you something in English that, or in history that was relevant to what you thought, or they never made it relevant. You know, it was always about remembering dates. And, you know, that was their big thing, is you had to memorize all these dates. I mean, yeah.
Does that sound familiar?
In my own name.
All that.
All these dates. And all the dates change, you know. Columbus didn't discover America, but that ain't what they told us.
So, hey, you know, we'd be remiss not to throw some tough ones at you here. So, you know, on this podcast, we talk a lot about kind of the five domains of life, right? We talk about health, home, work, relationships, and finances. And we talk about what your life score is on a scale of 1 to 100. So just what's your thoughts on that? What would you say your life score is?
I want to say that your life scores change rapidly over the years. And when you get retired, you know, you put your focus on more things. So if I'm going to judge it where I am now, I'd say I'm 75 to 80. Where I was 20 years ago, probably closer to 50. You know, it all, your priorities change, you know.
What do you think? Go ahead, Carson.
Oh, I was just going to say, did you ever feel like you weren't going to retire and that you would just have to work forever?
I actually was planning on retiring at 51, and I decided that I could work extra hours to build my retirement up higher. And what we got for retirement was we got 60% of our highest 2 years. So by building those years up made a big difference on how much money I would get per month when I retired. And that money goes on for the rest of my life, not just, you know, your 401ks today, they go on until your money's gone and then you're done.
These pension programs are a dying breed.
Yeah.
Very few.
And what it was you got 60% of your pay for the rest of your life. And if you mathed it out, you got back every dime you ever paid into it in the first 24 months. Now, I've been retired since 2003. So
20 years.
To take care of me.
By 2005, I had gotten back every nickel I ever put into that system.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow. Amazing. And you got out at 55, by the way. I mean, 7 years from where I'm at now. And obviously a goal of mine, but a big stretch in today's world to get out at that age. It feels like to me, you know, doing 35 years in a profession in the district and getting out at 55 had a lot of benefits, was probably the reason for your life score improving from what you said it was to where it's at now, and that you got those 20 years of retirement, you got to raise the grandkids and all that. So I assume no regrets, right?
None. Absolutely none.
What? I know we got a few minutes left. Who, for you, you know, you've been such a big influence in our life. How about for you? Like, who was, when growing up, who was the big, your big influence in life? Like, who did you look up to and set you straight?
I would have to say Papa Tony. He was always there for one thing, but he taught all of us what family really meant. And that it was the most important thing, is your family. And I mean, you can tell just, you know, Carmen's been married 53 years. We've been married 53 years.
Yep.
You know, Linda and Jim were married their whole life. You know, you learn that you have to give and take in a marriage or relationship. So he taught that. I mean, he took Mom in when the house was already crowded with grandparents, and she kids to add to the thing. And I gave them plenty of headaches over the years. So
I bet you did. I bet you did. He also taught you a little bit about horse racing too, which has rubbed off certainly on me. So, hey, we got, like, I think in our final minute here, what's the number one takeaway, you know, you want, you know, this Gen Z, this younger generation to take away from everything you've learned over 74 years?
I think that from all of these, which, you know, you're going to be interviewing, and that is that you want to remember there's no free rides. You know, you got to work for everything you do get. And as long as you're doing it, do the best job you can. That's, you know, the other thing, I guess, would be the stress. You know, jobs can be very stressful. And I think that something I've always kind of preached is that, you know, a lot of times we put on our own stress, you know, and that's because we worry about things that there's nothing you can do about them. You know, you got to be concerned with the things that you got control over, and you'll be much happier.
Love it. We love you, man. We got to run. Thank you so much for doing this.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, Papa.
Good night.